chapter number 11. If you would, take your Bibles and join me there. Hebrews 11. We'll be back looking at Abraham again tonight. And I surely have enjoyed this study throughout this chapter of the Bible. Many have referred to it as Faith's Hall of Fame, or the Hall of Faith, if you will. And we find faith's heroes mentioned in this 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and I've mentioned that there's the common theme throughout the book of Hebrews is that Christ is better. Amen. It is the preeminence of Christ. It is the Hebrew writer. He writes this epistle to the Jewish converts who are still trying to hold on to the old system. They're still trying to hold on to the law of Moses. They're still trying to hold on to all these things. And this preacher, his message is that Christ is better than all of those things. Amen. That Christ is better than the father of their faith, Abraham. That Christ was better than Noah, than of Moses, and of all the patriarchs. That Christ is better than the angels. That Christ is better than all of what we see as physical creation. That He was better than the temple. That He was better than the priests. That He was better than the sacrifices that were offered up daily in the temple. That Christ Himself alone had the preeminence above all of these things. Christ is better. Yeah. And in this 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, this Hebrew author will write and he'll tell us of these many of folks that did great things through faith. By faith or through faith is what we find mentioned many a times in this 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and we've already looked at several so far. We've been in here for 7 messages now, and this will be our 8th, and we're down into the 17th verse. And we've over the past couple of Sunday nights, we've looked a little bit at Abraham, and we looked at the wanderings of faith, and we looked at the wisdom of faith, and we looked at the wife of faith. We looked at Sarah, and tonight we'll finish up a little bit here with Abraham in the last 3 verses concerning him. Now I will say this by way of introduction: the previous scriptures that we've read concerning Abraham and the things that he and Sarah did by faith were regarding Abraham's calling. They were in regard to the things that God had called Abraham to do. But in the latter part of this scripture, in the latter part of the portion that does speak of Abraham, we find that these verses concern his commitment to God and his display of affection towards God. And I'm sure that as we read, and many of you will be familiar with what we'll be reading tonight, but I want to begin reading in verse number 17. The Bible says this: "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, according that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." Let's pray. Father, we love you. And Lord, we do love you truly, Lord. And we're here tonight because of you, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for salvation. I thank you for the gift of God, Lord, that is salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord and the precious blood that cleanses from our sins. And Lord, the ability to sit in here tonight sober-minded, knowing that we're on our way to heaven, Lord. And until that glorious day that you call us home, Lord, we need instruction, Lord. We need conviction, God. We need guidance, Lord. And so we look to your word this evening, Lord, in hopes of finding those. And God, I pray that you would cleanse me of any impurities that might stand between you and I, God. And Lord, help me, Lord, to be filled with your spirit as I preach, with power, with love, with a sound mind. And Lord, I pray tonight, as we would examine the faith of Abraham, Lord, that you'd help us to see things in our very own lives that we could change, that we could do better, that you might be more honored and glorified and pleased with what you find from us. Lord, I pray that you'll just look down upon us tonight and that your presence might be made known among us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 11, and I mentioned just a moment ago, I have really enjoyed this particular portion of study, starting right there in the 11th chapter in verse number 8, going all the way down through here in verse number 19. And I've come to find that it's almost as if I've seen Abraham in a whole new light. We preached several of our messages outside of Hebrews 11 on Abraham in the time that I've been studying him, and I've really enjoyed the things that I've read, and I've really been convicted regarding the sacrifices that Abraham was willing to make, the extents that he was willing to go to, the obedience that Abraham displayed. And I really love this particular passage of Scripture, and we're going to break it down real easy tonight. We're just going to look at each of these three verses, and I'd like to show you something that I see in these particular verses regarding Abraham and his faith. I believe that Abraham was a man of genuine faith. Abraham was a man of genuine faith, not just a man who could take some denominational label and slap it beside of his name and say this and say that and portray himself as this person and say, oh, that's Abraham, he's so and so. But this is something that Abraham believed. This is something that Abraham lived. This is something that Abraham, these are convictions that he held to dearly. And this faith is what drove Abraham in his life. I believe that God was everything to Abraham. And we need some Christians in today's day and age who would display a faith like Abraham, who would display a faith that says God is everything to me, that He has the preeminence, that I'm here to serve Him, I'm here to do as He would bid me to. And we find in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews regarding this great sacrifice that we find in Hebrews chapter number 11, and many of you are familiar with the sacrifice that we're talking about in Genesis and chapter number 22 with Abraham and with Isaac. How that God called Abraham to take His only begotten son up onto Mount Moriah, where He would offer him up as a burnt offering before the Lord, and He would sacrifice His only begotten son. And we'll get a little bit further into that in just a moment. But I want to notice first and foremost about Abraham's faith is that this faith will exude submissiveness. It exudes submissiveness. You say, where do you see that? In verse number 17, the Bible says this, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And many people, they've debated over how to interpret that and how to decipher what God's trying to say right there when it says that he was tried. How that when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. Some people on the wrong side of the argument would say that it means that he was tempted of God to sin. That he was tempted of God to disobey. And the Bible tells us that God is not the author of sin, and let no man say at any time that God hath tempted him. He is not speaking in regards to temptation to sin, but rather what he is saying is that he is probing Abraham's faith. He is putting it on trial. He is taking Abraham's faith and he is putting it on display in such a way that he can try it to see if it's good. See, I had somebody today made me a big old pan of peach cobbler. And I opened it up and it looked good. And I held it up and it smelled good. But I wasn't sure that it was good until I stuck that fork in it and I put that first bite in my mouth. And let me just go ahead and tell you, friend, it was good. I wiped out 3/4 of a pan of peach cobbler by myself today.
Hallelujah.
See, preacher, you're supposed to be on a diet. Well, that's your guy's fault. It's your guy's fault. You can't blame me, all right? Let no man say that God hath tempted him, but let me tell you, I got some church members that have tempted me, okay? But I tried it. I had to sample it. It had to go through a process to make sure that it was good. See, when God takes Abraham's faith, when God takes Abraham, and the Bible says that when he was tried, he takes Abraham's faith and he puts it on trial so that it can be examined. You say, how does our faith get put on trial? Through God commanding things from us, through God asking things of us, through God putting us through tribulations and trials that we might show forth the exceeding great glory of God and that we might prove Him faithful in our lives with our testimonies. See, God expects the proof of our faith to be excellent. He's not pleased when we display minimal affection to Him. When we do the bare minimum, when we just get by with the skin of our teeth, as my mom would say, just barely getting by, just cutting corners, just doing the minimal expectation, just trying to meet the minimal mark so that we can say, well, I've done what God asked me to do. We find ourselves in a place where we're going through the motions. We find ourselves in a place where our heart is lukewarm and cold and indifferent towards God. And that's not what God expects from us. And true faith is not going to receive that kind of service from God. True faith is going to exude submissiveness. Saying, God, You're in control, You're the boss, You're in charge, I'm going to step back and take the orders from You. It is going to exude this submissiveness to us. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. We're going to get a little bit further into this, into the next verse here, but do you realize what God is asking Abraham to do? He's asking him to give His only begotten Son. And the Bible says, there was a term we used to use when I played sports when I was a kid, and people get to trash talking one another. They say, put your money where your mouth is. Essentially, that's what Abraham did. Abraham said, I'll do anything, I'll go anywhere. And God said, okay, I want you to take Isaac up on Mount Moriah, and I want you to offer him before me as a burnt offering. The Bible says in 1 Peter, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, though as some strange thing hath happened to you. Amen. James said, I was thinking about this verse as I was putting it in my sermon outline here, and I was going to use it as a proof text for this particular passage of Scripture, and something struck me as interesting in James when he says, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You realize that James said that at the very beginning of the letter? That's the very first thing James said. There's one verse before that passage I just read, and it's basically James saying, I'm James, the apostle of Jesus Christ. He identifies himself, and immediately he says, listen, when hard times come, you've got to realize that it's for the better good. It's for God. He's working something in your life. He says, when you fall into diverse temptations, count it all joy. Sometimes God is going to try our faith. Sometimes there are going to be trials, there are going to be tribulations, there are going to be heartaches, there are going to be heartbreaks, there are going to be things to come, and we're going to find ourselves in distress. And it's in those times that it's so very imperative that we as Christians do the right thing. And the right thing to do is not always the easy thing to do. The easy thing to do is to lay down and give up. The easy thing to do is to quit on God and to turn your back on God and say, well, I'm just going to give up on this. I'm just going to quit on this. I know this is what God called me to do, and I know this is where God called me to be, and I know God's been blessing me and God's been using me, and God, He's allowed me to serve in the church, but now this has happened and I just don't think I can do it anymore. That's the easy way out, and that's what your flesh wants, and that's what the devil wants, and that's what the world wants.
Amen.
They want to silence you. They want to push you out. But that true and that genuine faith is going to exude that submissiveness to God. When those trials come, what your flesh wants is to say, no, I know this is what you want, but that's not going to work right now. That's what your flesh wants. And not only will true faith exude submissiveness, but true faith expects sacrifice. Expect sacrifice. Look what the Bible says. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that hath received the promises offered up his only begotten son. And I'm not going to run any rabbits. Let me say this real quick. There's a big argument in today's day and age over who that land belongs to over there. The followers of Islam, the Muslims, they say that land belongs to them. The Jewish people, they say that land belongs to them. The Muslim people say, well, that land belonged to Ishmael. That Ishmael was the heir to that land. And the Jewish people say, no, Isaac was a promised seed of God. Why don't we just let God settle the argument right here in Hebrews chapter number 11? What's he call Isaac? He says, his only begotten son.
Amen.
His only begotten son. That settles it, friend. It doesn't matter what kind of theological system you want to throw out there or how you want to twist and turn it. God said, take your son, your only begotten son, that son of promise, that seed of promise. He said, take him up on Mount Moriah. That brings me to the next point here in verse number 18. Look what the Bible says. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. God could have asked Abraham for a number of things. Abraham was a wealthy man. Abraham had lots of men servants, lots of maid servants, lots of cattle, lots of tents, lots of property, lots of places. God had blessed Abraham richly in this land that he had called him to because of Abraham's faithfulness and obedience to his word. And God could have asked him for every cattle in that field, and I believe Abraham would have gave it to him. And God could have asked him for any one person to take him up there and offer him up before God, and Abraham would have done it without hesitation. And God could have asked him for any of these things, but God asks Abraham for the one thing that means the most to him, more than anything in this world. We read in Genesis, we've looked in Hebrews, we've looked at the life of Sarah, how that God, through these callings of Abraham and these covenants that he made with them, it was regarding a place and it was regarding a people, and he promised this son to Abraham. This man, Isaac, was the promised son of God. He was the son of God's promise. The angels came. They told him they were going to give him Isaac. They said through Isaac that his seed would be called and that he would go on to bless every nation of the world, and that the number of his seed will be as numerous as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. And this was that child of promise. This son, Isaac, meant everything to Abraham. Meant everything to Abraham. Listen to me now. Great faith is always going to expect a great sacrifice. No great faith goes untested without great trials. And we find that he asks Abraham for the one thing that meant more to him than anything else. I know there's an evangelist, a very popular evangelist down south, and he and his wife, they travel and they sing, and they sing a song called "When I Lay My Isaac Down." And he speaks figuratively, the things in our life that God would ask us to lay down, the things that He would ask us to give up, the things that mean so much to us that if we lay them down on the altar, we can finally please God with our lives. The song goes something. He says, "When I lay my Isaac down with a broken heart, but my father's proud." God meant more to Abraham than even Isaac did. This has cut off Abraham's seed. Listen to me. This didn't make any sense to Abraham, I'm sure. Think about the promises God had made Abraham concerning Isaac, concerning the land, concerning the people. This didn't make any sense to Abraham. He told him to take him up there and sacrifice him. And I'm sure in his heart, Abraham is broken hearted, and I'm sure in his heart he might have questioned God, but you know what he did? He obeyed. He was obedient. He said, "All right, God, if this is what you want, this is what I'll give you." A lot of times, God might call us to do something in our lives, and we won't have a clue what's going on. We'll say, "God, that doesn't make sense." We'll be puzzled. We'll be perplexed. We'll be confused. But listen to me. God knows the end result. God knows. God understands what He's doing. Amen. Amen. Why is it we oftentimes want to question what He's doing? God knows what He's doing. He's got it all under control. And God asked Abraham to offer up Isaac, the promise seed. This would cut off the seed. This would cut off the promises. This wasn't making any sense to Abraham. But I want us to understand that this display of obedience right here in Genesis chapter 22, and we read it reiterated in Hebrews chapter number 11, showed that Abraham loved God more than anything else. Abraham loved God. Listen to me. The proof was in the pudding, friend. He could have said no. He could have tried to barter with God and say, "Well, that doesn't make much sense because you said this and you said that, and I'm not sure we should do it that way." Abraham submitted himself. Abraham was obedient. Abraham took him up there to make that sacrifice. What is it in your life that you are submitting yourself to? Are you submitting yourself to your faith? Are you submitting yourself to your convictions? Are you submitting yourself to the Word of God? Or are you submitting yourself to something else that has taken the place of God in your life? Something that you need to take and put on that altar so that God might be pleased. Because listen to me. Great faith expects a great sacrifice. Not only do we see that it exudes submissiveness and that it expects sacrifice, but great faith exalts the Savior. Great faith exalts the Savior. See, I've tried to alliterate this whole series of messages, okay, with W's. That's what I've been trying to do. We looked at the wandering of faith and the wisdom of faith and the wife of faith and so on and so forth with all the rest of them. And I was thinking about this mess. I didn't really have anything to call it. And I began to think about this last point of the message, and I thought I could call it the who of faith. Because Christ alone is to be the object of our faith. Christ alone, His holy word, His person is the standard for our faith. He is the centerpiece for our lives for our faith, for everything that pertains to us.
Amen.
See, this story, we talk a lot about Abraham, we talk a lot about Isaac, and we talk a lot about Sarah regarding this story, but this story is about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the Bible, it's hard to find any clearer picture in the Old Testament of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ than you find right there in Genesis chapter number 22. In Abraham's display of faith, he exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me there for just a moment. Genesis chapter number 22. Genesis chapter number 22, and I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And as Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound up Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar of wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called them out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And throughout that story and throughout what we've read there in Genesis chapter number 22, it's just oozing with the truths of Calvary. It's all over. You say, how in the world do you see that? Because we see Isaac as a picture of Christ. In Hebrews chapter number 11, that's how this scripture ends in verse number 18 that we read tonight. It says, Of whom it was said that in Isaac thy seed shall be called, verse number 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Received him in a figure. What he's saying is that this entire display of faith, this entire commandment from God to Abraham, this entire ordeal that has gone on was to point people to Jesus Christ. Was to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, where do we see Jesus Christ in the Scriptures? In Isaac. Isaac was that picture of Christ. He was the promised son, wasn't he? You go back in Genesis chapter number 3 where God makes that promise. And he said the head of the serpent shall bruise the heel of the seed of the woman, but his heel shall bruise the serpent's head. That promised son, that deliverer, that Messiah, that Savior, that is that child of promise. What those angels say to those shepherds that night in that field in Bethlehem, they said, Behold, I bring to you glad tidings of good cheer today in this city, in the city of David, a Savior is born, which is Christ the Lord. He was that child of promise. Isaac was that child of promise. Isaac was that seed of Abraham that through him and through his lineage would every nation of the world be blessed. He's the one who carried the promises of God on his shoulders, much like the Lord Jesus Christ himself as he went to Calvary's cross. Not only was he the son of promise, but Isaac was the only begotten. Hey, I like John chapter number 3 and verse number 16. I know it's quoted more than any other verse in the Bible, but I never get tired of hearing it. Amen. The Bible says, For God so loved the world that He gave what? His only begotten Son.
See, because we have faith in the Son of God, we have the power to become the sons of God. But we are not the only begotten of the Father. That title is reserved for one and one alone, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Isaac goes up on Mount Moriah to be offered for a sacrifice, I can't help but take my mind back to Mount Calvary, where the only begotten Son of God, carrying our sins and our shame and all that iniquity on His shoulders, was taken to Mount Calvary, where He would bleed and die for the sins of the world. We can get a little bit more specific with it, can't we? See, Isaac, in this chapter, a lot of people think Isaac was a child. Isaac was not a child. You can take the dates and what the Bible teaches us, and listen to me, I believe the Bible is historically accurate. I mean archaeologically, scientifically, historically, I believe that this book is infallible right here. And if you take those years and you take those dates and you line those up, Isaac would have had to have been between 18 and 35 years old on Mount Moriah. Right. That was that window of age that this took place in. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't seen very many over 100-year-old men that could overpower a young man 18 to 35 years old. You know what that tells me? That tells me that Isaac was willing to die. Amen. He didn't take him against his will. The Bible says they got up there on Mount Moriah and He bound him up and He laid him on the altar. Yep. When He left those servants with the donkey there, He laid the wood for the altar upon Isaac, that son of promise, that only begotten. And Isaac carried the wood to the sacrifice. And I cannot hear that without thinking of the cross that my Savior bore. As He walked through the city, as He looked into the eyes of the people that He came to deliver, the people that He came to save, the people that He came to redeem, and they mocked Him, and they laughed Him to scorn, and they spat in His face, and they kicked Him, and they threw dirt on Him, and they pulled His beard from His face, and they smote Him with reeds, and they hit Him with their hands, and they mocked Him with this cloak of humility, and they pressed the crown of thorns deep into His brow, and there on top of Mount Calvary He was nailed to that old rugged cross for the sins of the world. When you look in Genesis chapter number 22, you look at the faith of Abraham, it's exalting the Savior. It's talking about Jesus. What did Abraham do? He submitted himself. He made that sacrifice. And because of that, we look back on Abraham's faith and we see Jesus. I wonder if others look at our faith, what they see. Do they see just another Christian? Just another Bible toter? Just another saint of the faith? Or do they see Jesus? I don't know about you guys. That's what I want out of my faith. I want people to see Jesus. I want God to be pleased. I want Him to be glorified. I want Him to be honored with my life. Counting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, Abraham believed God. Abraham had the faith. And God delivered him, didn't He? Amen. Listen to me. Isaac was dead way before they climbed up on Mount Moriah. Yep. Isaac was dead way before Abraham took that knife in his hand and raised it up to slay him. Before those angels beckoned from heaven, he was already dead. Because Abraham had made up his mind he was going to obey God. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just one moment? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I wonder how many of us in here tonight might be in here and your faith wavered a time or two. Your faith has waned. Your faith has struggled. You've been through those trials. Maybe your faith has been tried, and maybe you haven't always made the right decision. I invite you tonight, why don't you come to the altar? Folks have already came to the altar tonight. Why don't you come to the altar and pray? Say, God, help me, Lord.
Help me to display that faith. Help me to make those right decisions. Help me to yield myself. Be obedient to you, Lord. You might be in here tonight. You might look at the scriptures. And you say, you know, when I think of all those sacrifices made, I could probably do a little bit more myself. And listen to me, friend, I've got my hand up tonight because I know that's me. If you're in here tonight and you're in that situation, won't you just raise your hand? I'll just pray for you. God bless those hands. God bless those hands. We need, folks, a genuine faith. We need people to stand up and be the real deal for Jesus Christ. You might be in here tonight. You might not be saved. You might be on your way to hell. Let me ask you this. Have you ever believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not asking you if you filled out a decision card or if you prayed a prayer or if you did this or you did that or you got baptized. I'm asking you if you've ever believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've ever trusted Jesus to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you're in here tonight and you've never done that, you can get that right before you leave. You can get that right before you leave this building. You can call upon the name of the Lord and He'll save you. If you're in here tonight and you're unsaved, I invite you to come to the altar. If you know the song, I invite you to sing with me. I'm going to sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.